this morning with a time in the scriptures. God, what have you called us to? And then pray about God, what have you called us to? And then as we do our minutes or as we do our meeting together, that we would have all of this in the context of God, what have you called us to? And so allow me this morning to begin with that. After our time of scripture and prayer, we'll have our AGM. Then we're going to have a worship set of celebration after that. And then after that, we'll enjoy a meal together. So a full morning this morning. But let me open the scriptures with you this morning. We have been talking a lot recently about the body of Christ, and specifically using the language of membership, that we are all members of the body of Christ, which is an interesting word on this AGM Sunday because Revenue Canada is asking us to talk about a completely different kind of membership this morning. Revenue Canada has a version of membership that they've described in the BC Societies Act, and so all churches always have to maintain these two distinct kinds of membership. There's the biblical kind, which is most important to us, where we are all members of Christ's body. And Christ is the head of the body, and under Christ we pursue his kingdom purposes. That's why we exist. But the legal kind is where not all of us in the room, but probably most of us, are registered members of a registered society called Mountain Park Community Church. And the functions of these two are very different. The Societies Act requires us each year to approve financial reports and budgets to ensure that the society, that is Mountain Park, abides by the laws of BC. And in return for this, there are certain financial obligations that we have. There are some financial benefits to us, like being able to issue charitable receipts for giving. It's not terribly exciting, but it is important. And again, we want to remind you that if you are a registered member of the society that we call Mountain Park, you need to pick up one of these so that you can vote on those things a little bit later on. But our primary membership, again, is in the body of Christ. And it's described in terms of spiritual gifts that are given to each member of the body. And it's comprised of what Paul calls the higher gifts, which he calls the joints of the body that hold the body together and to build up the body. And Paul tells us that there are five of these: apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And together, we all serve the head of the body, who is Christ, and we pursue the mandate of Christ, which is to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom and to make disciples of all nations. This is why the body of Christ exists. This is what our membership is about, and so this is what we need to evaluate each time we come together. Now, the church has always affirmed the priority of the Great Commission. And I don't think that there's really any confusion on this in churches in North America. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 is probably one of the most recognized scripture passages in the North American church. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There is no lack of clarity of the reason for the church's existence. There is no lack of clarity on this commission. And yet, when we examine the behaviors of the church, and when we examine the fruit of the church, we have to ask ourselves if we are fulfilling our reason for existence. Why are there so few baptisms in the North American church? Where are these new disciples that Christ, the head of the church, mandates for us to make? Our BCMB conference is asking that same question. not specifically about Mountain Park like we are, but about all of the churches in our BC conference. How is it that a family of almost 100 churches, all of whom preach the Great Commission, how can we so consistently fail to produce these new disciples that would be evidence that we are churches of the Great Commission mandate? Our BC conference hired a consultant last year in an attempt to answer that very question. And in October, the consultant submitted a report which amounts to essentially 25 painful pages of reading, observations, disappointments, and also recommendations. Now, our BC Conference of Churches is also a society of BC, and in April, they will be holding, or I'll say we as a society of churches will be holding our AGM, and the leadership board of our conference will be bringing three recommendations to our AGM, our provincial AGM. And in preparation for that AGM, they're hosting a number of regional meetings. And so tomorrow night, I'm going to be at a regional meeting with pastors and leaders of the conference. And the purpose is to discuss the three recommendations that our conference leadership are bringing forward. And I want to share these three recommendations with you this morning. And these are a direct quote. Number one, that we renew our commitment to live and share the gospel as given to us in the Great Commission. Now I go, okay, that's great. But the truth is, we have been renewing our call to the Great Commission for years, even for decades. But we've done it without any deep and lasting change in our behaviors, and without any substantial increase in fruit, because our behaviors haven't changed. This is the right starting place. But frankly, I think you'll agree that verbal assent to the Great Commission is not enough. In order to change our outcomes, we must change our behaviors. And that leads us to the second recommendation that's coming forward. The renewed emphasis on Great Commission calls for catalytic leadership to support the renewal of our churches. Catalytic leadership. That sounds disruptive in a good way. To be a catalyst is to goad. It is to stimulate or to spark change. And so catalytic leadership is leadership that pushes us beyond the status quo, and it takes us in directions to places that we are not currently going. Now, let me just make a parallel connection to the language that we've been using at Mountain Park. Catalytic leadership is one of the words that's often used to describe apostolic leadership. And so for Mountain Park, I would read this as the renewal, the need for men and women with spirit-empowered apostolic drive to lead us as a church to expansion, so that we could see the fruit of the Great Commission making disciples in our church. I want to show you something about these five APEST gifts. We've been talking about them a lot over the last few weeks, but if you look at them as a group, you will see that you can actually divide them into two distinct groups. The first three, apostles, prophets, and evangelists, have been called generative gifts, or if you will, catalytic gifts. They generate new ministries in new places. They make new disciples. They bring new baptisms. These three are the gifts that prioritize the Great Commission of the church. The other two gifts, shepherds and teachers, have been called operative gifts. They are primarily concerned with the health of what already exists in the church. And so it is teaching disciples and caring for disciples. But in order to fulfill the Great Commission, the church needs both. And if you'll notice in Jesus' words of the Great Commission, he includes both. Go, he says, to be sent, apostolic. Make new disciples and baptizing them, the work of the evangelist. These are the generative functions of the church. And then he says, teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. That's the operative function of the church, shepherding these new believers and teaching them. And so to be Great Commission churches in BC, our conference needs both. But the observation that is being made by the consultant is that we don't have both. The 25-page report acknowledges that we have good operative leadership. We have good systems to maintain the existing church because this has been our priority. Now, these should not be ignored, but frankly, the consultant says, that's all we're doing. We're managing our existing churches. We exist to manage what exists. And the church cannot fulfill her mandate to make disciples if we lead only with operative leadership. It's simply not in the nature and gifting of shepherds and teachers to do the word of expansion. They are not gifted for this. And so, again, the second recommendation exposes this need in our conference of churches, that we need catalytic leaders to bring an apostolic compulsion to move forward, to bring the prophetic goading, and to bring the evangelistic fervor so that we could bring renewal of the Great Commission to all of our churches. The third recommendation that our conference is bringing is this: to create learning communities for pastors to purposely provide mutual encouragement and accountability. Small groups of pastors who commit to making room in their lives and in their churches for this apostolic, evangelistic impulse. Small groups to encourage each other and, notice, to hold each other accountable for this renewal. Once again, I want to bring a parallel for us as Mountain Park, that I believe it's time for us to renew our small group ministry network of small groups in the church, and that using the language of this recommendation, that our small groups too would purposely provide mutual encouragement and accountability to pursue the fullness of all the gifts of the body, all the joints of the body, under the headship of Christ. I want to make a confession to you here. I have actually been resisting what I have felt was a growing expectation that we need to get small groups going again after COVID. It's not that I'm against small groups, not at all. I think they're really important. And our elders agree that this is important. In my own annual review this year, they have encouraged me to address this important topic for the church. But I did not want to address this topic. I did not want to open the discussion on home groups too soon. I didn't want to raise the topic with the church until we came to an understanding together of both the generative and the operative roles of the entire body. And here's my concern, that most small groups reflect shepherding and teaching. We care for one another and we study scriptures together. We even call them care groups and Bible studies. Now, these are absolutely legitimate functions of home groups, no question. They're legitimate functions of the larger church, no question. And I would never suggest that we would let these slip away to lose importance in our church or in these small groups. But notice that the fullness of the body of Christ in no way diminishes the shepherding and teaching roles of the church. What it does do is create room for the apostolic and prophetic and evangelistic so that the whole body is built up. And so if we're going to reinvest ourselves into small groups, into home groups, in whatever form they take, I felt it was important until we could, we could do so with intentionality, with understanding, and even accountability, mutual accountability, as we pursue the full range of these gifts given to the body of Christ. And I think we're ready for that. I think we're ready to take that step. We're going to talk more in the coming weeks about bringing the fullness of the body of Christ, both into our Sunday gatherings and into our small groups in the coming weeks. But for today, let me just encourage you to think about two things. Number one, where are you already meeting with others outside of Sunday morning? It could be a Bible study. It could be a home group of some kind. It could be our youth group. I would include them in this. Or our children's ministry as leaders and people gather. Begin to ask yourself as a group when you meet, how can we bring the fullness of Christ's body into our setting? How do we bring the fullness of Christ's body into the settings that already exist? You see, the fullness of Christ's body is not a program that we need to add. We may not need to add another night out to your schedule, just as we don't need to add a second Sunday morning service that focuses on the three generative gifts. All of these need to function in every area of the church. So rather than thinking of adding something right now, ask, how can we add breadth of ministry to what we're already doing? There will be opportunities to expand the roles of people in your gathering, to make room for new gifts and for new ministries within your current setting as these gifts begin to unfold. So number one, let's all think about how can we bring the fullness of Christ into the body that already meets? How can we eagerly desire these gifts in our body? How can we make space for them? How can we encourage these gifts as we see them being tested out and learned? And then secondly, if you're not currently in any kind of small group or study, I would encourage you to begin thinking about connecting with other people in the body of Christ here at Mountain Park. As Paul said, every part of the body needs to be connected. So start small. Who is one person, one family, one couple that you can connect with? Take initiative and invite someone into your home. And then when you're together, you can begin to talk about what might this group look like and who else might benefit from an invitation to join you. We're going to get to the equipping of these groups in the coming weeks. There are things we'll need to do in order to equip leaders, to equip all of us in creating space. There are some tools that I can share with you, and we will get to those. But for today, let's simply agree to the same step forward that of what is being asked of our pastors in our conference, to establish small groups as places that we can learn together, to encourage one another, and to bring accountability to the entire body of Christ as we pursue these Great Commission ministries. This is where I see us going in 2023. And before we come to our AGM, I want to ask you to pray for our church and for our conference on these things. We're going to take a few minutes to pray around the table, and we'll put these prayer requests up on the screen for you. For our BCMB conference, they're calling it a focus on Great Commission and disciple-making ministries for Mountain Park. We've been talking about focusing on disciple-making culture, basically the same thing. For our conference, they've used the language of catalytic leaders to bring renewal. For Mountain Park, we've been talking about the APEST gifts to connect and build up and equip the whole body of Christ. For our conference, we're praying for pastors that they would find safe places to learn and be accountable, and for us as a church, that our small groups would be safe places for us to learn and to become accountable. We have two AGMs. We have the BCMB AGM coming up in April, and the meeting tomorrow, the information meeting, pray for that. And then for our own AGM today. But that all of these are done with the end in mind, that we are becoming Great Commission Church as Mountain Park, that we are becoming Great Commission Churches as the BCMB Conference. So let me invite you to take some time around your tables and just to lift these things up in prayer, and I'll close in just a few minutes. Father, we thank you so much for the conviction that comes when your Spirit is with us, and for that prophetic prompting to righteousness in the church and justice outside of the church. And we know that comes only by your Spirit, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, by your giftings to lead us here at Mountain Park. We thank you for moving among us and for being so gentle and kind and so encouraging in the process. And we look forward to the day, Father, that we would represent your body as well as you have intended and designed, and that the fruit of the Great Commission with Christ as the head of the church would be our experience. And so we surrender ourselves to this and ask that your purposes would be fulfilled in us and in our conference of churches. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.